Hello, everybody, and welcome to another awesome episode of the Wealth Preservation Podcast. I am your co-host, Josh Saunders. And as always, my other co-host, Mark Scyther. How are you doing today, Mark?
Good, Josh. This is a rare occasion. We are both recording from the same state.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like, this hasn't happened since, like, middle of 2020.
Yeah. Still in different time zones, though.
Different time zones, but I'll take same state. That works.
Yeah, we'll take that. Yes. These long, skinny states here in Tennessee. So we're close, though. Well, we are excited to have Ray Young on for a second episode. Ray, great to have you here.
Great to be here, guys. I appreciate you having me. And let's dive right in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last time we really kind of got the background story of, you know, you growing up, going to college and starting your business. And now we want to split this episode into two parts. One, really how you do the PR thing, right? Like, what is PR? How do you run PR campaigns and everything? And then we'll end on you as just a business owner. How do you scale up a business? And you know, there's a lot of emotional things that go along with running a business. So first, give everyone a quick recap. What is RazorSharp PR and where are you guys based out of?
So we are, RazorSharp PR is based out of Austin, Texas, and we are a business PR firm that's focused on helping our clients grow their client base, helping them get understood and to be, to help investors, stakeholders, clients, customers, whoever it might be, to help understand them and in order to elevate their visibility, their brand, their thought leadership, and basically their overall stature within the industry that they're in, right? So the goal is to get them to be understood and to be liked and to be for people to have an affinity toward the client, whatever industry that might be.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about diving into this because, you know, some people I think have this skewed or unrealistic view of what PR firms do, right? It's, you know, basically, you know, a PR firm is the people you call when, you know, the CEO has a DUI or something like that. That's not really the main thing.
That does happen.
It does happen. Yes.
Wells Fargo has spent lots of money on their PR PR budget. Let's just say that.
But Ray, let's really get into, like, as you're talking about, what do clients usually come to you expecting? And then how do you set this expectation what RazorSharp PR is, or does every client come looking for, like, a specific thing when it comes to PR?
So no, they don't all come looking for a specific, for all the same things, but by and large, they do come looking for positive publicity for their products, their services, just overall thought leadership. They want that visibility. So, 95% of what we do is positive, it's positive PR efforts, right? And that's getting folks on TV, in print, on blogs, so working with social media influencers, all of the above, traditional media as well as social media, to get those messages out there that they want to convey to their constituents, to their customers, to the, people who might be interested in investing in the company. So they're really, the short answer is most people come to us for positive visibility. Right.
Sure.
There are those that you mentioned, those cases where, there's a lawsuit filed against the company, or the CEO gets in some sort of dicey situation, or something else happens, and you need to manage those things. And a lot of time it's simply getting information to the right person, to the reporter that's covering the story, or to the blogger or whoever it might be. It could be as simple as getting that information out there so that you can help kind of quell that story. So, but by and large, it's going to be a visibility for their product, for their service, and for their company overall.
Well, and I guess because it's easy for a company to say, hey, we want positive visibility. Right. But when you go in, if there's a company that literally starting from ground zero, what's the first thing you're looking at and telling the company, like, hey, if you've done nothing so far, here's step one.
Yeah. Step one is, what are your offerings? What have you done so far? It's basically an analysis of where they are. Right. So we go in, we do a deep dive, we figure out, OK, What are your current messaging? What's your current marketing efforts? What have you done? What's worked well? What hasn't? Maybe you've done nothing. Maybe you've done a few things and they fell flat. Who knows? It could be there's myriad things that could be going on within a company. Maybe you thought, oh, I'll spend a bunch of money on Google Ads and it didn't work out. Or you know, I bought a, you know, half page ad in the Wall Street Journal and that didn't get me anywhere. Or somehow I had a friend that connected me with the Today Show and I got on there, but nothing happened. Right. So there's a lot of things that we try to that when we're coming to the table to start the conversation, we want to look at what you've done, where you want to go, what are the things that you want to accomplish, and then we work back from there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who is it that you want to influence? Who do you want to buy your product? Who do you want to invest in your company? And then we go from there and we build a plan around that. And there are many, many different channels. You know, PR back in the day was, you know, it was newspapers, so print, newspapers, magazines. It was TV, local TV, and maybe a couple national broadcasts. And local radio, right? It was like five or six outlets per market. Really, now it's hundreds, right? And thousands and different verticals all over the place. And we're moving into a network society where we're not, you know, it doesn't matter that I'm in Texas and you guys are in Tennessee. We're having this conversation because we can connect online, right? And yeah. That's happening with PR. That's happening with business. It's happening all over the place. And I think COVID's really like, it was already moving in that direction anyway, but COVID really like hyper, you know, it really jump-started this.
The acceleration really happened really quick.
Accelerated it, exactly.
Yeah.
It accelerated out of the chute. So that's really, I mean, hopefully that answers your question, but that, yeah. So we do a deep analysis of like, what is it that you're doing? Where do you want to go? And then we build, you know, if something is shown to be successful, let's expand on that. Here's other things that we think we can do to help build, you know, to help build your visibility. And then we hit the ground running with the campaign.
And there was something you mentioned in there where you're talking about, like, you know, trying to get more visibility and trying to attract the right investors or the right people. How far do you guys go down that, you know, I guess, process of identifying, hey, if this is the type of person I need to attract, here's what, here's what that kind of person reads. Here's how they consume info. Here's, you know, because obviously if you're TikToking, you're not going to get the 65-year-old investor. Right. So like how much time is spent on really identifying not just who you want to attract, but how they think?
So it's a really good question. And it really depends on the size of the company and kind of their budget, because, you know, a lot of clients come to us and they know pretty much who their client is. Uh-huh. And who their target audience is, you know, and we break it down, you know, gender, ethnicity, geolocation, you know, interest, you know, you know, we don't do a lot of political stuff, but it could be, you know, are they conservative, are they liberal, or, you know, all those things matter when you're targeting, you know, different outlets and you're targeting, you know, the folks that you want to get interested in your brand. Usually, for the most part, because we're business related, we stay away from politics and we stay away from going on one side or the other. And it's more about thought leadership. It's more about talking about the industry and not saying, oh, it's, you know, let's go virtue signaling here over there. Let's, you know. We try to stay away from all of that. Mm-hmm. Because that inevitably, and you see this all the time, you're just as likely to stand on a landmine than you are to like have a success in those situations. So especially for small and medium-sized clients, which are kind of our niche area, it is, and by that I mean, you know, 1 million to 5 million being small and 5 to 20 million being medium-sized. And so that's kind of our sweet spot. Other larger multinational PR firms, they're going to tackle the big guys like the Pepsis and the Fords of the world, right? That's not our niche. Our niche is medium to smaller businesses, like I said, who are looking to get visibility in their individual, verticals. But yeah, again, it's just analyzing and making sure that we're on the same page and that we're going to get those outcomes that the client desires.
Right. Let's try and get a little specific, you know, real quick, how has you kind of talked about how the PR world has changed quite a bit. You know, it used to be, you know, print and TV, mm-hmm. but you know, how do you handle a client that comes to you and says, oh, hey, I want to get on TV. And you do an analysis and you're like, oh, hey, you know, TV is not your best bet. You should really go this direction. How do you go about, you know, adjusting that?
So we one of the biggest things in PR and business in general, I think, is managing expectations. right? And so in that case, in your scenario, which actually does happen quite a lot, someone says, oh, I got a new business. I got a new widget. I should be on CNBC. I should be on Fox Business. I want to talk to Maria Bartiromo, right? I need to be on TV. And that may not be the right place for you. It may be that you're going to get much more bang for your buck if you're focused on trade publications and those periodicals and different magazines and so on that the decision makers that you're trying to reach are reading and consuming and looking at articles and so on. And so we just have a frank conversation and say, hey, look, this is where we need to be. You know, we can certainly try to get you on CNBC at the right moment, you know, but you have to remember, and we have to explain how media works. And this is why we do media training too, is because if a client properly understands media and how to communicate with the different TV versus radio versus print versus bloggers and so on, then they're going to understand that, okay, I probably in my business, because I'm sort of niche, probably going to need to be in those trade publications and those different print publications, maybe local business journals, you know, that kind of thing, instead of, you know, I got to be on, you know, Bloomberg TV, right?
Yeah, Bloomberg TV is not going to have on like the, you know, the small ball bearing manufacturer on for a huge shocking hit piece, right, on Mad Money. That just probably isn't going to happen.
No, not going to happen. But on the other hand, if you've got a great widget and you have a solution that helps people deal with, you know, like we saw over the last year, things that help people deal with COVID, businesses reopen or whatever, they're going to eat that. You know, those publications are dying for that kind of content. They're dying for that kind of expertise. And really, that's where you want to be anyway, because those are your people, right? Those are the people that are, you know, those are the investors, those are the, you know, the CEOs and the presidents and the business leaders that would use your services, right? And certainly we can translate that. I mentioned investors, but we can translate that into, investment opportunities. And there's a lot of different niche investment publications that focus on everything from healthcare tech to, you know, property tech to all kinds of different things. And sure, so there's a niche, and that's getting back to my point from earlier, is that those kind of niches didn't exist 20 years ago, right?
Right.
In the way and the volume in which they exist now. So on the one hand, you've got all it's like drinking from a fire hose, but our goal, our job is to narrow that down so that we're focused on just a few things, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense, that are going to really move the needle for the client.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Ray, yeah, kind of following that up. So how has, you're talking about kind of shifting, you know, the niches, and how has social media kind of evolved that? Obviously hugely, I'm sure. But you know, taking that, you know, you're like, hey, instead of getting on Bloomberg, let's Facebook Live or, you know, whatever you're doing for a client to push something out. How has that kind of changed?
So by and large, from a business perspective and doing business PR, we always counsel clients to, you know, get those, there's nothing better to push across social channels, to amplify across social channels, than regular earned media. And by that, I mean stories, articles that you place, interviews on TV, interviews on radio, interviews on podcasts, all of that content is hugely valuable. And we always advise clients, look, let's get those placements. Let's get that credibility. You know, if you're in healthcare tech, let's get you interviewed and get some of your articles in these healthcare technology publications. And then let's take those links and let's push that across social. Let's put that in your newsletter. Let's put that on your blog. Let's put that, you know, let's get that together so that your sales folks can use that when they're starting conversations and they want to have, they want to open those doors. Oh, well, by the way, my CEO was just on this channel and he was talking about the exact thing that I think that you're concerned with. You know, so we always want to be topical. We always want to make sure that we're being extremely relevant to media. And that's part of where that's where our expertise comes in, and we help clients like coalesce around, you know, what are your key messages? What are those topics that you need to be able to discuss to really be relevant? That said too, you know, depending on the bandwidth of the client, doing a lot of Facebook Live or doing a live on LinkedIn or doing, you know, even having your own podcast, you know, those are all options that are very, very helpful. But a lot of our clients, you know, at least when they start out, and you know, they're trying to figure out, okay, there's, like I said, it's like drinking from a fire hose. Where do I start? Start small, start with just a few articles, start with a few interviews, and then expand that across the band, you know, the spectrum. if you can do a Facebook Live, or if you can do a webinar once a quarter or whatever, that's awesome. And we can invite the media to those types of things.
Sure.
You know, if you're at a, you may even do a live from now that we're getting back to normal, so to speak, and we're doing more and more conferences and you know, in-person type events, do a live from the event and, you know, spread that across social, you know, and we can support that with earned media, with, you know, getting, you know, maybe having an op-ed or an opinion piece in a local paper before the conference, or having it, you know, maybe the group doing the conference as a newsletter that we can have an opinion piece in, you know, ahead of your talk, you know, which just help. The whole thing is to just build momentum, right? And to help steamroll things. But to answer your question, you know, in short form, social media has really, it's amplified everything. And so it's really, the communication principles are the same as they were before.
Sure.
You know, messaging, making sure you don't say anything silly. Don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble. If you're publicly traded, don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble with the SEC, right? All of these things all still apply. It's just knowing how to manage and navigate them.
Right. Yeah.
And could you, you know, because I'm sure when you're, you know, building these massive, like, hey, we've got to put all these things together. We've got to get all this stuff to the salespeople. What's a general timeline from, like, hey, we're kicking off this campaign to when we actually start seeing results? Because I'm sure you run into people who are like, hey, I've done 3 live webinars and I've tweeted every day. Why are my sales not up?
Mm-hmm. So we always start with a 6-month minimum. And the reason for that is preferably a year, but at least 6 months, because to your point, Mark, it takes a while to get things moving, right? We need to align on messaging. We have to align on goals, you know, target audiences, all these things that we need in place before we start getting out there and we start pitching and we start getting these interviews. But in the short term, it depends on the industry, but we can start getting results as early as a month or two, maybe even sooner if we've got something that's really hot. You know, it's breaking news and we've got a CEO with a resume and a background that really fits with that, whatever's trending in the news, then we can jump on that and get results really, really quickly. But by and large, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a couple months, a month or two before you start seeing results, and it builds on itself, right? Media starts to get to know you. You have a call with a reporter, you get a good story out of it. That reporter likes you. They call you again. And it builds on itself. So by like 6 months or so, you're going to have a pretty good sense of, okay, this is really working. And here's the results that we're getting. I think one thing too, that clients, and we stress this and a lot of clients get this, but it does take a little bit of a mind shift is a lot of PR is about brand building, right? It's about thought leadership. Right. It's about getting people out there so that when they do a Google search on you, on your CEO, you know, you're coming up as being quoted in all these different publications, right? Google loves news outlets that have a high ranking, right? And that's one of our goals, get you out there, get your SEO up. You know, when someone searches your company, what are they finding, right? Well, how's your social look? You know, are you being quoted in different places? Can they find interviews of you on TV? All of those things all build that snowball effect that help build the campaign and deliver results in the long run, right? Because the brand, the overall brand, is going to be much more healthy when you're doing this over the long term versus like a short term win. Yeah, we can get some short term wins periodically, but if you're really worried about your bottom line and you're like, I need sales in 30 days, probably PR, you know, traditional PR especially is probably not the vehicle you want. You probably want to dump a lot of money into your sales team. So it's just a matter of understanding. Look, you know, are you in it for the long haul? Do you want to build a brand? Do you want to build something that people are going to recognize? Do you want leadership that's going to be recognized within the industry and people are going to call you and get you, you know, speaking gigs? Or are you looking to just, hey, I need like 3 sales by the end of the month? You know, so those are 2 different questions, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we've had, now that said, I mean, we've, you know, one of our clients, we had her, you know, she was in a trade publication with an article that turned, she put it on LinkedIn and it got like something like 40,000 views. And that turned into, you know, a couple speaking gigs and that turned into a couple clients. Right. And that was just like immediate. That happened. But by and large, you know, that's going to happen more and more the longer you do the campaign, right? And the longer that, the more that you're getting more and more articles. Because not every article is going to hit, right? Not every article, not everything that you comment on is going to go viral, right? We've had clients that have been on, you know, the Today Show, for example, and it didn't translate into more web traffic. It's huge brand credibility,
sure.
But it doesn't necessarily translate into, you know, sale. So
right.
That's one thing you have to understand about PR.
Yeah.
It's building your brand equity. It's not doesn't always translate into sales. Although over the long term, absolutely, there's a huge sales activation.
Yeah. So and this might be good for our listeners to understand this, because I was kind of confused with this early on in kind of my career. How does marketing and PR differ, but also work together?
So that's a really, really good question, and that's a topic of debate and discussion, and has been for a long time in our industries, in the marketing industry, you know, marketing overall. Different people will give you different definitions, and if you want to Google it, you'll see that's all over the map. You know, how do you gauge PR? How do you tell if the ROI is working, and all these different. So there's all these questions that people debate about. But the way I define it is overall marketing. If you envision it, marketing is your overall umbrella. Marketing has all kinds of different aspects to it. It could be everything from direct mail that you get in your mailbox to SEO and your website content, to
right.
PR, to earned media where you're working directly with reporters, to advertising where you work, you've got Google Ads or you've got other things, you're advertising on different sites. So all of that falls under marketing. So PR, by my definition, is a subset of that, in that okay. we work in conjunction with the other tentacles, if you will, of marketing in order
right.
to enhance and to raise the visibility of and work in synergistic effect to help propel the company forward. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you translate that to clients though? Right. It's always a hard, because, those small to medium sized businesses kind of have a finite-ish type budget. Right. And so they're like, well, hey, I want to do more Google AdWords, but that's X dollars, but I really need to get more visibility. And how do you help them manage that, right, to do that?
Yeah, so the short answer is usually it's going to be, if you have a finite budget and you're like, okay, what's the most bang for the buck? Oftentimes the answer is PR, because you get that third-party credibility.
Right.
We can put together a couple, we'll sit down, we'll come up with a plan, we'll put together a couple articles, we'll put together maybe an announcement, a press release. We can even do surveys. Those work really well on the industry, to get some visibility. And so it's a narrow focus, but we're getting a lot of results and we're getting some brand visibility. On the other hand, if your goal is like near-term sales, and you've got a great small, technology, you're trying to sell something on Amazon, you're trying to sell something, a physical thing, oftentimes, advertising might be a better route,
Right.
So it really depends on what the client is trying to accomplish. It just depends on, what they want. It can be beneficial. Or it's definitely been, let me say it this way. It's extremely beneficial for us to go in and kind of do an analysis and figure out, okay, you really aren't ready for PR yet. You don't have a web, if you don't have a website, or your website's not up to snuff, if your assembly line or your supply chain is messed up, or it's not even there yet, and you want to go out and start talking about your product, but you couldn't even fill let's just say you got on CNBC and you got a lot of interest, and you got investors coming to your website because, based on your interview, or you've got, potential customers coming to your website based off your interview, but you can't fill those orders or your website
right.
is garbage. Not time for doing PR. You need to get some things in order on the back end before you go out. Right. Cause as soon as we go out with PR, as soon as we start pitching reporters and, whether it's the New York Times or it's the Austin Business Journal, the first thing they're going to do, if they're not familiar with you, is check you out on social, check out
right.
your website, check out your blog.
So, and I guess, because you're talking about like, hey, you may come in and maybe like, hey, you guys are really not ready for PR. What should people be doing? Or do you have like kind of a checklist of like, hey, in order to get ready to where we can, because I'm sure you don't want to come in and have to start from square one. You're like, nope, that's not where my time's valuable. these things have to be checked off. You've got to be at this point. Then a PR firm can come in and blow this thing up. Well, what's that checklist where you want people to have those all knocked off before you come in?
So we can actually, you know, Mark, we can actually help with some of the pre, I'll call it the first steps, the initial steps before we get, before launch. So that would be things like messaging. That would be audience identification. You know, we could do focus groups. We can do other, and that gets back to my point about like what kind of budget does a client have? Because if they're if they can afford to have focus groups, and we can really, you know, do a lot of things, you know, above and beyond sort of the tangential or the you know, just interviewing everybody, who is your target audience, and you know, if we can do some more, a little bit more systematic things, you know, but of course that requires more of a budget, we can certainly do that. But yeah, it really is. It's about getting, you know, it's about getting an aligning and being on the same page, right? So the checklist would be, what's your website look like? That's like one of the most important things, right? I mean, this is, I'm not telling you anything that's not rocket science, but get your website sorted out, right? Get your messaging sorted out. So when people go to your website, what are they seeing? Do you have a press page on your website? Do you have a page where you're placing, you know, the articles that you've gotten, or blog posts that show your thought leadership, that your CEO's acumen for whatever it is that they're doing? What does your Twitter feed look like? What is your Facebook or your LinkedIn look like? And not everybody needs all the different channels. You know, not everybody needs an Instagram, but if you've got visual products, Instagram's a great place to be, right? But if you're trying to sell, if you're a B2B play and you're selling, you know, you're selling to hospitals, LinkedIn, much better choice, right?
Right.
Like it's just, it depends on what you want to, you know, what the focus of the business is. But I would say get your online presence sorted out. Make sure that you have processes in place. What's your overall marketing plan? Because again, PR clicks in and is a component of your overall marketing. So how can we, do you have a marketing plan? Do you have an overall, you know, focus that you want to go, you know, where you want to go, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then how do we, and that's why I say, like, we can help through those early stages, help with the messaging, help with the brand, help with, you know, integrating the marketing, because we've done enough marketing plans and everything that we can help with the overall plan. We can do all of that stuff. You know, when it comes to SEO, when it comes to building websites, when it comes to, you know, some of these other things, we bring in our partners and experts to help do that. But we could certainly, what we do a lot of times is we steer clients in the right direction, right?
Right.
They may not be ready to go out with PR, but they may be ready to have a redo on their website.
So, you know, kind of tell us a success story of, you know, we kind of mentioned, you know, that one where got somebody on, you know, the Today Show and blew up their product, but, you know, kind of how did that come about? And then, you know, what did you take them from, and what were the results of that? You know, kind of how did that PR campaign go down, and how did you guide them through that?
So on that particular one that I mentioned with the Today Show, that was something that came through just organically. Somebody saw, what happened was, is they saw a local news story, and so then the reporter, it was all on a date rape drug, like a testing kit, which is a great concept. But they saw a local story. We had gotten it on, we'd gotten it on a couple different outlets, and one of them was just, you know, a lot of times you'll get a story or an interview that gets picked up in syndication, and so it goes all over the place. So yeah. I think if I remember right, that's what happened. Not completely, but they'll pick up on those, and they'll you know, invite you for whatever story they're working on, and it turned into just a quick snippet, right? Got a mention or two, a quote. And so it was kind of a one-off, to be honest. It was kind of a one-off. More likely, and a lot where our major focus is on the business media. It's not necessarily on the that's more mainstream, whatever's hot and interesting. They'll talk about everything. We're more focused on CNBC, you know, Fox Business, right. Bloomberg, you know, all of those kinds of outlets, the Wall Street Journal. Anyway, getting back to the Today Show thing, that was just the reason I brought that up was to explain that you could be on the Today Show. They got 6 million viewers on average, 5-6 million, but that doesn't even necessarily matter if those, you know, it's good for brand building, but a lot of times it doesn't translate into sales. Right.
Right.
You, on the other hand, you may have, you know, an article that we wrote, that we worked with you on, that is your byline, right? You know, Josh Saunders, and we get that placed in a wealth management publication, you're probably going to get a lot more hits off of that, frankly, than anything we would do that would be on, you know, sort of mainstream broadcast.
Right. Gotcha.
So what I heard was Ray's going to get us on TV. He's going to get us on the Today Show. He's going to get us on Bloomberg. So, Josh, there we go.
Oh,
hey,
that's why we have Ray on. Thank you in advance.
And that's being
The bill's in the mail. The bill's in the mail, fellas. So, yeah.
So then we can, you know, sell our free podcast.
PR is so much about, you know, understanding what it is you offer, what stage in the process you're in. Are you in growth stage? Are you like dying for money? Are you like, you know, what is it that you want to accomplish? And then,
right, what are you trying to do?
What are you trying to do? Because there are thousands of things you can do and spend money on from a marketing perspective. And 9 times out of 10, you'll be wasting your time if you don't if you don't have focus.
So, I mean, so from the, you know, the depths of PR, I know you kind of are on the business PR side, but, you know, do you have a good CD story where you had to go rescue somebody? You know, the CEO, you know, was caught doing something nefarious, and you were on the, you know, the good or bad side of that?
Yeah.
Want names, Ray. I want names and specifics.
I'm kidding.
I'm
confidentiality
kidding.
Agreements. Sorry. No, I will tell you, you know, and this was actually, I'll give you this example because it's kind of egregious. It was actually pre-Razor Sharp, so before I launched my firm. But with my former firm, we were doing a lot of work for a group of doctor's offices and urgent care all over the country. I'm not going to name them. But what happened was they had a doctor who got involved in, who got arrested for, unfortunately, he was, it was a sexual issue, and he was, you know, molesting patients, and he was, so he was arrested. The bigger twist on this too was she was an immigrant, and so her English wasn't so good, and so that was that whole dynamic, right? So at every moment, even though, and we did everything we should have done, which is like immediately fire, communicate that to everyone. We're taking all these steps. We're investigating this. This guy is no longer, you know, with the company. We, you know, as soon as we found out, he's gone. So there's all these things that you need to do, right? And being transparent with the media, being transparent with stakeholders, with patients, and so on. So we did everything right. The client did everything right. But we still had to deal with the issue because every time there was a hearing for this ex doctor, in court, they trot him out in his orange jumpsuit. That was a media moment for the press, and this was all local press, by the way, by and large. You know, it was an opportunity for the local press to do a stand up right in front of one of the clinics with the logo in the background. Da da da. This is happening. And then the negative image, right? Obviously, and there's nothing you can do about that because they're outside, they're standing outside on the sidewalk. There may or may not have been, you know, people picketing or whatever. There's all the other things going on. So you got to manage all of these things. So we had to be prepared for every moment. Long story short, you know, after a while, you know, because we had done everything right, because we had made sure that we were transparent, that we were complying with law enforcement, we were doing all these things, it all worked out in the end. But that was, it was quite dicey for a while. It was quite dicey because, it just such an, you know, that's kind of a cringe, you know, you get involved in this, you know,
yeah.
You get a doctor doing very bad things to patients it's a bad situation.
At any time where you're like, I don't know, I feel like I always need to take a shower every time I work with this client.
Actually, for the, you know, to be honest, I love that particular client. They were great to work with, and like that, 95% of what we're doing was positive, right? It was doctors giving advice. It was how to manage, you know, situations in the workplace because they were, you know, a lot of labor situations and that sort of their niche, focus area. And so it was great and fantastic. And we did it. And by the way, that's, you know, some people come to us, and you asked a question earlier, like, what are some of the things that people come to you with? One of them is, and it's not that common, but it does happen, one of them is like, how do I push down that negative press that I might have gotten a year ago, 3 years ago, it could be 8 years ago.
Right.
You know, the answer is always the same. Get positive press in quality outlets, and that's going to rank way higher, and it's going to push the old stuff down, right? And gotcha. once you're off page one of Google, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
There's a second page to Google?
Oh. Exactly.
Man.
Shocking.
By the way, the first three are the only ones that really matter.
Right.
The first three organic are the ones that matter. By the time you get 4, 5, 6, and then the bottom, they matter more than the second page, but it drops off
dramatically. Yeah. So have you ever had a client where you had to tell them, you're like, hey, I'm going to need you to not post on Twitter or Facebook anymore. So can you just please put the phone down? Please put it down.
Yes. The answer is yes. Not so much like don't post on Facebook and Twitter, but certainly, and this is not that uncommon, especially when there's legal issues involved, is, hey, look, we gotta hit pause on the campaign for the moment, or we can't go out on this particular topic or that particular topic because our attorney's advising us this or that, or we just got a ruling here and we don't want to poke the beast. You know, there's all these concerns, right? So there are times where it's more advantageous to say nothing than it is to go out there and be visible and audible, right? But it's less about. It's less about the don't post on Twitter. It's more about let's change our message.
Yeah. So just, you know, on the communication part, have you ever had somebody do the Jim Carrey from Fun with Dick and Jane when he gets the stack of cards and the camera put in front of him? And they're like, hey, read this.
I didn't see that movie.
Ah, great PR movie. You got to watch. See, it's on Netflix right now. Watch it.
There
you go. Hilarious.
There you go. Yeah, but anyway, so can you rephrase your question without the analogy so that I can...
No, just go watch the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
All of our listeners have probably seen it.
Right,
hilarious.
Right now, we'll keep this paused, and then you can just jump right back in. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Give me 2 hours. I'll be right back. So,
if we've learned anything with this podcast, you got to go watch Fun with Dick and Jane. There you go.
Yeah. Perfect.
That was Jim Carrey pre-crazy. So,
okay.
When he was funny.
Jumping from Jim Carrey, you know, death.
Jim Carrey PR.
Yeah, Jim Carrey PR. You know, blending the PR with, you know, with your own business, right? Kind of going into the business side and what you've grown. I guess starting out, did you guys have a, maybe it was a year or maybe it was just a disaster client or something where you're just like, oh my gosh, we might be packing up razor sharp or you know, this is a little bit too much and we may just pack it in, or how'd you guys get beyond that hurdle and how'd that go down?
So I, you know, it's really good, really good question. The one thing I, you know, from an entrepreneurial perspective that we made a mistake early on, it wasn't detrimental, but we did have to scramble, was that we put too many eggs in one basket. And by that, I mean, we had a couple small clients, you know, for the first couple of years, and we had one large client. I mean, just to give you, you know, percentages to give you kind of a concept here, probably 80% one client and 20% a couple other ones. Not a good thing. Highly recommend spreading that risk out. Obviously, you guys are investments. You know these things, right?
Raise the risk. Experts at business, but don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Hey, I learned by doing, right? So
yeah.
I know, and this is about 6 years ago. So RazorSharp's been around for a little, this is our 10th year anniversary. And this was probably year four, where what happened was our big client got acquired, right? And we were killing it with them all over the place, getting tons of coverage. But the problem is when they started spinning off and slicing and dicing the company and selling parts over here, this and that, right? Suddenly the consultants get pushed off to the side, right? That just happens. It's inevitable. A lot of times you can make it through. Thankfully, in this particular case, we made it through at about a third of our original retainer, a little bit less than third. But that was a huge crushing, you know, wake-up call, right? It was like, okay, don't put all your baskets and all your eggs in one basket, because if those eggs get crushed, right? So we scrambled, you know, God is good. Things worked out and it's a lot more, you know, these days we're in a lot of different verticals, business verticals, you know, with a focus on, you know, healthcare and real estate, technology and all in the intersection of all of that. as well as financial services and that kind of thing. So, but you know, while we tend to play in those areas, we certainly, I mean, business media is our, that's our bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
As Mark would say, when you lost that big client, you could no longer order the guac at Chipotle for a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta hold off on the guac.
Yeah, well, you know, they do overcharge on guac. I will say that.
Big time.
I can buy like two avocados for the little bit of guac they give me.
That's my basis for like, if I think someone's like stupid rich, is I if I'm next to them and they get the side of guac, I'm like, ooh, dang, that dude's got money.
Or maybe, Mark, they're virtue signaling and they're just putting everything into, they're showing you that they're rich by buying the guac and driving the nice car when really they're not doing so well.
Could be. But hey, if you see me getting guac, you know I won the lottery or something. you had that rough year, right? You had the big client with the third, third of the revenue cut out,
two thirds cut out.
Yeah. Did you just go to like PR on the PR firm, right? I mean, how did you PR your way out of that?
Yeah. So by and large, most of our clients come from, because PR is so misunderstood in a lot of areas. The vast majority of our clients come from warm referrals, right? From clients that are happy. And they refer us. And so we really stepped up our campaign and just asked, went to all of our, our warm, good contacts, our clients that we've worked with in the past and said, hey, can you give me three, if you wouldn't mind, give me three referrals for clients or for businesses that you think might need some visibility, right? Businesses that need to raise their, they're looking to grow. Maybe they're new. Maybe they've been in business for 30 years, but they're kind of, just flat, right? And so, through that effort and through, divine providence and everything, I mean, we ended up having enough, and it worked out. And we've continued to grow. But I thought that just doing a great job and being, the best PR people that we could possibly be and getting the best results would ultimately just lend itself to, getting more and more clients. And that not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
We have to go out there. We have to tell people about it just like we do for our clients, right?
Because yeah.
If nobody knows about the widget, it could be the best thing in the world and maybe like a handful of people use it. But if you're not getting that visibility, then ultimately you're not going to be successful.
Yeah. We had a former client.
If you can dream it, you can do it. That's my philosophy. Don't care about advertising or PR. Just if you can dream it, you can do it. Right, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely. That's our motto. That's it.
And some businesses, look, I'm not going to, this is not 100%, but some businesses, all you need is word of mouth and it grows, perfectly fine. But for most businesses, a huge chunk of businesses, that's not the case.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look at Tesla and SpaceX. They didn't know advertising at all. They just became awesome, right?
Yeah. Well, if you've got an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos and you've got a cult of personality, that's a whole nother level, right? That's a whole
I'm sure everyone in the PR staff holds their breath when they look at Elon's schedule and they're like, he's on another podcast.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. From a PR perspective, managing, Sir Richard Branson or Jeff Bezos is a lot easier than managing Elon Musk because he'll say stuff, he'll do stuff, he'll get investigated. I think he's like, isn't he like giving testimony this week?
Today, Solar City.
That's what it Solar is. City, Solar yeah. City, right? His PR team is in full swing right now, right?
Yeah,
it's all full damage control, right? It's like. Doing PR for some personalities is a lot easier and it's a lot more restful, so to speak, than it is and less anxiety than for other personalities. That said, doing stuff for Elon Musk would be very exciting. I have to tell you,
Never a dull moment.
Yeah. Never a dull moment. I'm not, by the way, I'm not criticizing either one. I'm just telling you as a PR person doing this for 25 years, I know I look at a situation and go, oh, that'd be fun. I wouldn't want to deal with that sort of stress, but that would be fun. Or that would be easy, or that would, whatever.
No, just for the record, Elon, Ray Young was mocking you on our podcast.
It would be easy PR as far as like, hey, the other company that's going to Mars? Oh, I forgot. There is no other company going to Mars. We're the only ones going to Mars. We're awesome.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, if Elon takes notice and tweets about this podcast, I will be ecstatic.
Hey, you're the PR guy. You got to make it happen, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, dealing with celebrities, whether they're business celebrities, like the folks we were just talking about, or a LeBron James or a basketball or a soccer celebrity or whatever, or a movie star, that's a whole nother situation, right? Because it's a cult of personality. And you've got, it's frankly, oftentimes, and it depends on the person. Sometimes it's easy, like I said, sometimes it's harder. But a lot of times the internal management is often harder and more difficult than managing the media, and that's very, I've had these experiences where, the hard part is not getting media for a client. In fact, that's frankly sometimes the easiest part. It's once you got that interested New York Times reporter, it's getting them the information you promised, right? Oh, right. Let me get you my CEO. Let me make sure my CEO delivers the messages, let me make, and in some cases, we've had situations where we're about to do a press release and launch a new product, a new service or something. And it's all dialed in. We're all ready to go. And we're like, okay, we're launching tomorrow. You guys are going to be ready. Yep, we're going to be ready. Everything's good. Boom. We launch. We get a number of media interest. And then we go back and the CEO decided to take a vacation day or something. You're just like, Come on, guys. So managing those internal issues is just as important, frankly, if not more important, than managing an external. Because you can, look, we can go out and get media all day long and so on. And if we don't want to damage any relationships, but we can manage those relationships. But we certainly have to have our house in order before we do that.
Yeah. So what are some of the old school PR techniques that still kind of work that people would be surprised by? Or are there not anymore? That's a
good question. Very, very good question. These days, especially, and I'm going to take a crack at some of the larger PR firms because while they can do a good job, and they certainly do.
No, I want you, Mark, Ray, name names and slay. Come on, go for it.
Well, I used to work for Burson Marsteller. Now they're Burson Marsteller and Wolf or Burson. I don't know. Too many mergers.
And they're terrible. They're the worst.
He doesn't know them because they're irrelevant.
Yeah, they suck. No. No. I'm not gonna go there. Because they do a lot of good work, but a lot of times, a lot of the bigger firms, and this is one of our value adds as a boutique firm, is that look, we're not paying Manhattan, real estate prices, right? Obviously, COVID's changed things a lot too, but we're in a lot of ways we're virtual, and we've got consultants that we work with, not just our core people here in Austin and California, but all over the country. Really, we're small and we're nimble and we're able to accomplish, in a lot of ways, a lot more than some of these bigger firms, because what you see is what you get. You're getting our expertise. I have 25 years experience. Other people on my team have 25 years experience or 15 years of experience. What you see is what you get. And that's not always the case with these big firms. But to get back to your question, Mark, about what are those old school tactics that tend to work? It's the face-to-face stuff that people forget about, right? Everything's digital these days. Wait, I'm going to send out a press release. I'm going to email it. Or I'm going to put it on social. Or I'm going to tweet it at a reporter. Or I'm going to DM a reporter. Or I'm doing all that stuff is awesome and it's great. But people forget there's nothing that can replace face-to-face. Let's do an in-face media tour in New York City, right? Let's drop you down and maybe it's healthcare media and you need to drop down to Nashville, right? And do a tour with some of the healthcare press down there. Or you're traveling and you're in LA and there's a really important, LA Times reporter or Bloomberg reporter that's based in LA. And hey, I'm in town. Let me set up a coffee with the CEO and the reporter. And you just start dialoguing, right? And that leads to a story, which leads to a relationship, which leads to, a long-term, benefit from a media perspective, right? So face-to-face meetings, media tours, face-to-face media tours, and then conferences too, right? Like all going back to face-to-face, just connecting with those, we just had a conversation with a potential client this morning where they're like, okay, how can you help us with these conferences? The country's opened up, people are going back to do face-to-face. these conferences are starting to really kick off. You're seeing networking events and all of this. And it's like, look, you know, we can help you by connecting you with the journalists that are already at that conference that are covering your industry, and they need voices to put into their articles. They need content for their publications. Let us connect you, right? And so, and doing that face-to-face, because you can't really, you know, as much as I love you guys and I love seeing your faces, you know, Josh, when we're face-to-face, it's a whole other dynamic, right?
Sure.
So that's the biggest thing. And those take, like I said, those take different forms, but doing face-to-face stuff is huge.
So for any of our younger listeners, face-to-face is when you do the Insta reel, but in person. So just a little clarification there. And no there filter. You go.
It's like a Zoom meeting, except not with a computer screen.
Yeah. Which for some people, I mean, you know, you kind of go into that COVID work from home blur and you kind of forget about that stuff.
Well, no, and that's absolutely true. And there's nothing wrong with that. And frankly, you know, it's been nice, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
That look, I don't have to go fly to, you know, I live in Austin. You know, I don't have to fly to New York, have a face-to-face meeting for 3 hours, and then fly home. That's going to take me a day and a half, right? When you're all said and done. Maybe I can do it in a day, but that's a really long day.
Right.
These days, and if I don't need to, I just jump on Zoom and boom, boom, I'm done in 2 hours, you know, or something. Yeah. That said, it's great to do in person. It's, you know, there's a lot of positives that came out of the pandemic and the remote, you know, network society that we're moving into. But it's also, but also I say, yeah, don't give up those tried and true things. I mean, one other thing, you know, is a press release. You know, some PR people say press releases are dead. They suck, whatever. I say no. A press release is a good tool that we could still use, but don't just use the press release. Make sure it's SEO optimized. Make sure you're using the right terms. Make sure you're linking to things. Make sure you're using photos and video and stuff like that within the press release to make it relevant. But certainly, it's a great tool that people use to supplement the information. You know,
right.
But we always have a pitch. We always have an angle to tell a client, or excuse me, to tell a reporter. Here's why. What our announcement means to you in the broader context of the industry in which you're reporting, right?
Yeah.
Or here's the broader context, and here's why your readership should care, you know, based on this announcement, you know, those kinds of things.
So, yeah. So we kind of want to wrap it up there, but I really want to leave our listeners with something, you know, super, something they can use. And if a growing company is looking for to, you know, put PR into their marketing strategy, right, or PR into their marketing to their PR strategy, however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Is what are some things that they should really look at and consider so they don't get either the right expectations, or they don't, you know, walk away with a bad taste in their mouth, or those sort of things? And what are their, you know, how should that look? What should that look like for them?
So I think the really good question, what you want to do is make sure that you align on outcome, right? What does success look like, right? Is it for brand building? Are we looking for just getting, you know, our name out there as much as possible in the best publications and the best outlets? Or are we looking to drive sales activation, right? Are we doing media events that are gonna drive, you know, sales calls and that kind of thing? So it's, you know, if you've got your website in order, or even if you don't, and you're just like, hey, I need an audit, we can do that too, right? We can just go, okay, let me look at your stuff, let me see what you know, because we'll jump in and look and go, okay, that website's terrible. We got to fix that before we can do anything else. Your messaging's off. I don't understand what it is that you do, you know. That's one of the values that we bring from outside the box is, you know, we've worked with a lot of different industries and a lot of different businesses, and we can come to the table and go, okay, if I'm a business guy, I'm a CEO, whatever, I need to be able to understand what it is that you're selling me, right? And a lot of times it's not clear from websites. We need to align on all of that stuff. But once you have all of that, yeah, let's have a conversation and let's figure out what it is that we want to accomplish. Because if we don't have an end goal in mind, then the rest of it doesn't, you know, make sense.
Sure.
A lot of companies understand that, you know, a lot of PR is about branding. So it's about your persona, right? It could be personal. It could be thought leadership. It could be, you know, the company in general, the product, whatever it is. And then a lot of times it's activation, you know, once you have that brand and you've got that, those things going on and you're doing a sales activation, and we have an event where you have like 15 bloggers come to the event and you have a you know, coupon code and all of that, then you could track all that stuff and say, okay, these 15 bloggers did all the social media work because we had them at this event and we're working with them, and that led to X number of sales, right? So there's,
right.
it depends on what you want to accomplish, right? And by the way, that's not a, you know, working with influencers and all that, that's not a short-term project because we're building relationships, right?
Right, so, yeah, it doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. So really that big, you know, the big takeaway there is, you know, set the expectations, figure out what you're really trying to accomplish with your PR campaign, and then drive towards that and, you know, make sure the messaging is correct.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's a great summary. It's a great summary. There's a lot of moving parts in that, but absolutely. Right. It's
So basically I just summed up your whole podcast in like 12 seconds. So.
Exactly. Well, there's one thing I will add. This is an important part. This is an important part of the assessment, right? Part of the assessment is, what is the bandwidth of the client look like? Right.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, you know, we're talking here and we're talking about all these different things, meeting people in person, meeting reporters, doing media tours, putting out press release, writing articles, all this stuff. A lot of clients just don't have time, you know, or they have a limited time. They're trying to run their business, you know.
Yeah.
And so an important part of that conversation of what do we want to accomplish and how are we going to accomplish it, and what does success look like? A lot of that, you know, as part of that conversation is, okay, realistically, what is the level of commitment from the client need to be, right? And you know, for some of our clients, they've got time to write the article. They've got time to, you know, create the content. Some clients are already creating content as we speak, and it's just a matter of us taking that content and then rejiggering it a little bit so that it's palatable for an outlet, right? We got to make sure, for example, on an article, you got to make sure you're vendor neutral, right? If you're just out there, if we're pitching an article that says, hey, my service is the best in the world and all my competitors are you know, subpar compared to us, no one's going to run that article.
Yeah.
That's an advertisement, okay?
Right.
So you have to understand the difference. And so the making sure you understand those differences and making sure that we have time, you know, does the client have time to do these things? If they don't, we have writers that we bring in, do interviews, quick 20-minute interview, and we can get two or three articles out of it, maybe half an hour, right? That kind of thing. So it really cuts down. And then we're, you know, if they've only got a limited amount of time for interviews, okay, let's just do stuff over Zoom. Let's do stuff on the phone, right? That way you don't have to go to a studio. You know, you can do stuff quick, you know, quick 15-minute call, 5-minute call with a reporter, that kind of stuff. So there's time management issues there too,
right,
that we need to work through with. And that's a big concern, by the way, with a lot of clients is like, oh, I want to do all this stuff, but I'm also overwhelmed with my own business.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sure.
Okay. Well, sweet. Yeah, want to wrap it up there, Mark?
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up there.
Ray, as part of your media training, you should probably make sure that the person that's going on video has good lighting and their Bluetooth headset works prior to going on the podcast.
Excellent. You know, whoever doesn't do that is just, they don't know what they're doing.
Or should we say, good, no, echo, Ray.
Echo. Or in my defense, I've not used Squadcast before. So all my stuff works great for Zoom. Even, you know, to some degree with Microsoft, what is it? Teams. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Teams, by the way. But that's
we love it. Awesome. Well, Mark, go ahead and kick off the speed round, but we'll pause for Jeremiah, our overlord.
And there we go. So many entrepreneurs feel like they have to do everything, right? You're just talking about the business owners being stressed. What do you tell already overburdened entrepreneurs who want to take on PR but really don't know if they can?
You know, one thing that that I like to tell them is, look, as an entrepreneur, as a new business, or even as maybe you're an entrepreneur and you've been in business for 2 years or 3 years, and you're trying to grow your business, can you afford not to expand your marketing efforts, right? Can you afford not to? Do you want to stay? I mean, look, if you want the same results, keep doing what you're doing, you know. But if you want to change, then you probably need to put some dollars and some effort behind, you know, marketing efforts. And again, you know, it's not always PR the best answer. You know, PR is not always the right avenue. But some marketing certainly is. You know, especially like I said before, build it. The basics are your website, your blog, and your social media profile. You know, make those look good. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It's like socialism. I mean, this time it's going to work.
Well, I mean, yeah. Right. Yeah. Just ask the Cubans rioting right now as we speak in Havana.
It's
a
utopia. So, anyways, right, on totally. To the next question. if you were to give your businesses one task to do every day to help their, you know, PR communication strategy, what would that be?
If there's one thing over the long term, I would definitely say, when think about every day, just have it top of mind. What are, is there anything happening in your industry? Is there anything happening in your business? Is there anything happening with your own personal, you know, if you're a CEO or somebody's got a long, you know, CV that's significant? Is there anything going on in those areas, you know, that you would want to go home and talk to your spouse about or mention to your neighbor? Because you know what? That's probably a media story, right? If you're explaining something to somebody, you're like, hey, this happened in our industry today. It's really interesting, blah, 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 blah. That's the kind of thing you should be telling your PR firm about.
Gotcha. I like it.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Don't be the PR. Try not to be the PR.
Yes, don't be the PR.
Don't be the negative PR.
There you go.
Be the positive PR, right? Yeah. You want the New York Times journalist that covers, you know, green energy, if you're in the solar space, to want to come and talk to you whenever they have a question about solar.
Yeah.
Right? That's the guy or the gal that you want to be, right? You don't want to be the CEO that got a DUI, right? So, and having to manage.
But hey, he's gone green. CEO, he's taking public transportation, moving on forward.
Yeah, or the CEO that tweets up something that violates the SEC, you know, guidelines and rules. Want to do that.
Yeah. Or pumps and dumps the good old Dogecoin. So, you know.
Right. Dogecoin or Bitcoin or just whatever. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. We will take it.
Yeah.
All right. So, not non-business related. So if you were to be able to go to lunch with any politician, past or present, who would you be taking to lunch and where were you guys going?
How far back are we talking?
Oh, dead or alive.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Dead or alive doesn't matter? Woo! That's a tough one because as Josh knows, I'm a huge fan of history. I would probably pick some Cicero, or I'd pick, Constantine the Great or something like that. How did you manage the empire? You know, that's probably who I would pick. Somebody like that. Yeah.
That's a good one.
If it were modern America, I would certainly, Trump fascinates the heck out of me. Ronald Reagan, probably. I'd love to talk to JFK. I mean, yeah. So hopefully it's hard for me to pin down because I'm such a fan of history and there's so many interesting characters.
We said just one, Ray. Come on, just one.
Where are you taking Constantine for lunch? And then you're gonna have to tell Trump. Hey,
we're definitely gonna be in Constantinople, Istanbul, and we're gonna get some Greek food. That would be awesome.
I figured you'd take him to Thai. He's never had it before.
he's never even heard of Thai people, right? So that would be like. Although we'll give him another territory to conquer.
That's true. True. Yeah.
All right, last one. If you trade your PR skills for any one superpower from the Marvel Universe, what are you trading it for?
Ooh. I would trade it for Iron Man, and here's why. Tony Stark is like that brilliant kind of guy that can fix just about any problem, and I would love that capability just to be like, okay, we can fix that. You want to fly around in a suit? Sure, let's do that. You want to go to the moon? Yeah, let's do that. You want to do whatever? Okay, let's snap our fingers and take out Thanos, right? I think that I find him one of the most fascinating of the whole universe.
Is that why your facial hair is sculpted kind of similar to? Yeah. I was gonna say I kind of get it now. Yes.
Yes. Ooh, that's a great excuse. The real answer is I can't grow it too thick. But yeah, that's a better answer. I want to be like Tony Stark.
I don't know if saying I'm trying to aspire to be a Marvel comic is better than I. Of course, they might go hand in hand.
Well, Mark, remember, PR is about positioning, okay? We don't want to talk about Marvel because that would, in a lot of people's eyes, that would be like, okay, that's fake, you know, oh, it's just a cartoon, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But if we say, Tony Stark, Stark Enterprises, and he did this and that, and he's a great businessman. That's a whole other image. That's a whole other frame that we would use. And that's where I'm
Mark,
going
you just with. Don't look at it right. Yeah. That's your problem. Just,
right?
You know,
that's so I'm pivoting. I'm saying.
Talking behind my back. I seem to not look at a lot of things right.
Wow. I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. But yeah, no, I find all that. Tony Stark would be, if he were real, it would be fascinating.
Well, Ray wins for the longest speed round. So I don't know if that's.
And I finally, that's it. You know,
in his defense, Tony Stark is a talker. He is known for it.
So, so again, knowing your medium is important, right? On a podcast like this, we're an hour long or whatever, you know, you can go on and on. If you're on TV, you've got 30 seconds, right?
So
if you're on
radio, podcast guy. We got it.
Well, I mean, I can hit the high points too. Don't get me wrong. But but it's more fun to go back and forth and banter and have fun, you know, absolutely, in my view. But if you, but seriously, if you want to be on Tucker Carlson, you're going to have like a minute and a half of actual talk time, right?
In he interrupts people. I mean, for sure.
And you may not even get it. You may barely get in a word edgewise, right? But the fact that you were on Tucker Carlson is just huge credibility, right?
Yeah.
So as long as you don't embarrass yourself. So.
Well, Ray, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for being on the slow round. It was great.
I'm happy to slow things down and take perspective.
It was the California speed rail round. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, we're going to be here for another four or 5 hours, guys, because I don't think that thing's ever getting done.
And I'm going to cancel my credit card now. It's going to start costing me a lot of money.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This was fun. And if there's anything else, any other questions I can answer.
And so, Ray, real quick, how can people get a hold of you and how they, you know, look up Razor Sharp PR and all that?
So website is razorsharppr.com. That's razorsharppr.com. And you can contact us through there, or you can hit me on LinkedIn, RCYoung87 on LinkedIn. And, you know, those are the best ways. Or just hit me on email, ray@razorsharppr.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Once again, nothing we say can be taken as tax, legal, or financial advice. So if you had anything come out of this podcast that sounded interesting, please go follow up with your legal counsel, your CPA, and those that you seek business advice from. Thank you again so much for being on, Ray. Super fun.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Ray.